today's guest, it takes inner work to locate something besides the multiple versions of ourselves. And he says this is not necessarily a popular work. It does seem to be very popular to keep swimming around in the multiple versions of ourselves where intellect still reigns. With a 20-year practice in existential, Jungian, and archetypal psychologies, Robert Sardello, Ph.D., has shifted into a truly spiritual aspect of all of these works. He is co-founder of the School of Spiritual Psychology and an internationally renowned author and presenter. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Robert, welcome.
Hi.
You've been doing some deep diving and bringing quite a few others along, so I appreciate what you're doing with your work.
Good, thank you. What theme shall we work with?
Well, I'd like to move right into one of the points you bring up, distinguishing your insights of spiritual psychology from depth psychology. You first develop the articulation of what is pulling us toward what we might become as spiritual human beings rather than what shapes us from the past. And I just think this is so key.
Because of that word pulling us from the, it sounds like future in the sense of future time, but it's not quite that, because it's not clock time. But it has more to do with what is within us that is the realm of potentia rather than the realm of having already been and pushing us from behind.
And as we know, that's the way most therapy seems to work. You know, well, what happened in your past? And we have to clear this. And, you know, I'm sure, and as many therapists and many people that have experienced therapy know, that you can have an aha moment, but that's kind of going down the rabbit hole. You'll never get to the end of that, and you're working backwards.
The reason for that is because the reason that the past is what is worked with is because there's a content to our past. The interesting thing about trying to be present to what is coming to be is that it does not yet have a content. So to be, but that doesn't mean it isn't anything. It just means it doesn't have a given content. So it requires more to develop the capacity to step into and be present bodily within the sense of not knowing. And within that region, though, of not knowing, you can bodily feel. It's kind of like a current that is a sense of being drawn towards something. We all have it. We all have that sense of I'm looking for something that would fulfill or the meaning of my life is, even though I'm 60 years old, is not really clear, or there is that, you know, it's like finding the way into what is going on with that particular kind of quality of something that is drawing us that we don't know what it is, and it has no past. It really is something new.
Yes, and as I mentioned with a quote from you in the introduction, how it does take inner work to locate something beside the multiple versions of ourselves. And I also feel like that's another key piece, because the mind likes to just revolve rather than evolve. It kind of has its own box that it plays from, and it's a huge box, but still I think it can only work within its own parameters there.
Well, you give them the clue of where to begin to be able to sense this coming to be, which is it's not available to the mind. It's not really available to memory, but it's available in the region of the interior of the heart as an actual both physical but as well soul and spiritual time space.
Yes, well, there is quite a bit of research, scientifically speaking, involving not only the development of the brain in utero relating to development of prefrontal cortex and of the primitive brain, but also that of the heart and its influences. Are you following any research in particular that kind of gives you aha moments regarding that or gets your attention and impresses you?
Well, I know of the research, and certainly the heart math people and their research. It doesn't grab me because it doesn't show, it helps, it's very helpful technology to find a way to what heart presence is like. But I more follow a contemplative work of actually placing attention into the interior of the heart and then beginning to develop ways of just staying there, you know, and being present to what emerges. The one thing, for example, is that to shift from mind cognition to heart cognition is a shifting into a receptive realm, a creative receptive realm, the heart as you know, a much more like an interior concave infinite endless sphere of presences that are given as the realm of feeling. That was a big mouthful.
I was going to say, we started out talking about developing the articulation, and you're doing quite well at that.
So, I mean, it's more than, yeah. So then it is this. I don't know. Hope this doesn't take us way off track, but it's a way of shifting into what is now pretty well known, at least in the kind of circles that we travel, that indeed we are entering a time of the realm of the feminine. But that is often strangely approached through very masculine kind of approaches. I mean, the goddess and knowing all the goddesses and what they do and the goddess within and so on. But the actual way of it has to do with being able to be in this place of creative receptivity that is fully bodily, meaning the heart is not the heart chakra. It doesn't have anything to do with the heart chakra. It has to do with the tremendous mystery of the heart being a physical organ, a soul organ, and a spiritual organ and cognitive organ simultaneously.
Yes, and the piece about it being a cognitive organ, I think, is one of the more missed parts of the heart.
Yeah, that it's a way of knowing.
Yes.
But, I mean, we know that already from the realms that are the realms of feeling, like art and music, and which are ways of knowing. I mean, you know things through music that cannot be known in any other way. But it means also that locating our attention in the heart means we can know the world, particularly the natural world, in ways that otherwise can never be known.
Yes, and I think that's also a step definitely out of that human mind realm. And I feel like there's a huge storage house of the laws of this earth, and maybe call it a cosmic consciousness, where being a step away from the human mind, it can connect into that Akashic record, or that place where you can see the natural law to art or discovery of, you know, the automobile, even things that can work in this earth level. But that's where I think the invention or the great music or the great art actually is derived from.
Well, let's see if we could. I want to try to not go cosmic right away. In that, if we, you know, the simple little practice of shifting our attention where it's usually centered is in the head, and if we shift attention to the interior of the heart, which is different than thinking about the heart, it's actually just like you place your attention there. Then, after a few moments in silence, something really interesting happens, which is that where you start with placing your attention in the heart, you then suddenly find that the heart is all around you and you're within the heart. It's a heart field. And in the heart field, what is perceived is that Earth is a spiritual being of body, soul, and spirit. Earth. That's why I wanted to hold off getting cosmic too quickly, because what's constantly, I just don't understand why it's missed that Earth herself is a spiritual presence. And the spiritual presence that creates all substance as spiritual substance, meaning, you know, the trees and the grass and the flowers and the animals and the all of, you know, in the sky and the mountains, that's all spiritual substance. It's only when we live mentally that we step outside of that and can look at all that nature, all the world over there, feel safe from it, as well as being able to control it. But it's a spiritual presence from the heart.
Yes. Well, moving on from there into the way you speak about depth psychology, locating and using archetypes as the very essence of soul activity, and how we are all products of an infinite shaping past. Can you speak to the general essence of archetypes from your spiritual psychology and then move into your work, which leaves the basis of this depth psychology into this next step, perhaps, of finding ourselves within the heart? And do you feel the earth is an archetype?
The Earth is a prototype.
Okay.
Meaning, see, that there is this extraordinary complex unity of the heart, the human body, and the Earth. They are all one, but it's a complex unity. It's not mush. I mean, people like Jose Argyles is just great on this, and his drawing on Desjardins, you know, with their sense of the, like Desjardins and Argyles, they say, you know, the human being is a geologic layer of the Earth. Whoa. Think of that one.
Yes, I like that one.
That is so amazing. Where when he works, it really works it out that meaning, first of all, that the Earth is far more than a ball of dirt, and Earth is and we don't live on the Earth. We're not on top of the Earth. We're in the middle of the Earth. The Earth consists of all the way down to the center of the underworld, that's Earth, all the way to from the human point of view, from our immediate bodily experience, all that is above us is also Earth.
Yes, when you said that, I just had this overall sense of comfort.
Yeah, suddenly you're located where, you know, you really are.
Yes.
Yeah. Then, so like in this beautiful man, Jose Argyles, just such an extraordinary individual, and Desjardins too. So they have this sense that what is happening, that's why they took this December 21st date is so important, this moment where what Desjardins called the noosphere, which is the layer of Earth above the Van Allen belts, that was a moment where the human consciousness is evolving to be Earth awareness. It's this moment becoming a complex unity with Earth. One way to look at that is, once you have that feeling of, well, we're part of this extended sense of Earth, and what part are we? Well, we are Earth's consciousness. You see, we're not, from this point of view, I'm really speaking out of the realm of the heart. We're not just, you know, players. Earth is more than a stage upon which human beings do all they do. We are completely one with the spiritual being of Earth.
So, things seem askew in a lot of ways.
Oh, boy, are they askew. It even gets worse than that, because what Argyles hoped for, and it still can happen, but it takes contemplative work. It doesn't just happen.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that there's been a huge interference in the coming about of this conscious unity, and it's what Argyles calls the technosphere, and he means that an artificial layer has been installed. It's actually in the Van Allen belt, and it's the interference. But don't take it as bad or a judgment. It just shows us how we have to now work. But for example, all the electromagnetic activity that has been expanded so much by our technology interferes with being able to be conscious of being this unity with Earth. But all that means is it has to be done as an actual contemplative work.
Yes, I mean, it's not anything that necessarily has to permanently block anything. It's just another thing to sort of notice it's there, and then you just move more into that heart. And it's just another thing that we need to, you know, it's there, obviously, so we move from there and just let it be, and we can still go and be what we need to.
That's right. It's not really, I mean, it's actually in a way a help, because it shows us what we have to do inwardly.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, when people complain about the Bush administration or whatever administration, it's like, oh, yeah, things are kind of going crazy, but it's going to bring it down sooner. It's going to bring us in more quickly, and it's all going to be all right.
No, it just shows us where we have to work. The only difficulty can be that this technosphere can, if we're not aware of it, we can go into an illusion that everything can be supplied that we could ever imagine Earth consciousness as supplying. You know what I mean? Meaning that, when we're within the heart, in the body, in unity with the natural world and Earth, the way that I described it, one of the things that occurs very strongly is that time changes dramatically, and it becomes synchronistic time.
Yes.
The time at the heart is synchronistic. It's not linear.
Yes.
But with the technosphere, one can say, well, look, well, you don't need that. We have cell phones. We have instantaneously, you can be anywhere with your cell phone. So why do you see? It would be a kind of illusion.
Oh, yes. Big illusion.
Yes,
first of all, it's quite funny when people start describing the body using the computer instead of vice versa.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that always is quite ironic to me that people take that direction. But the other thing is, I feel ultimately we don't have to keep anything in mind. You know, we don't have to keep the Earth in mind, because when we do sink in both S-I-N-K and S-Y-N-C to that heart realm and can allow ourselves to be in there, then things do sink in. So the Earth, everything becomes in a good flow, so to speak. And then, you know, nothing is, you know, you don't have to worry about the Earth, because if we get enough people in sync, then that's good. The Earth can be taken care of. And it also loses a point of focus, I think, in a good way, because we don't have to care so much about the Earth. We have to care about being in our heart system.
Oh, that's right. Then the Earth will be fine.
Yes, yes.
But the real interesting question is whether or how it's possible to be within the heart in such a manner that it becomes it has stability, becomes this stable way of consciousness.
Well, that's where you come in. You're helping everyone articulate this knowledge and be there.
That one's a hard one, though, because it's like, for example, people like St. Francis of Assisi, for example. He was very much within the heart and the world and the natural world and his relation with animals and healing and. But he had real, he couldn't stabilize it, meaning he had to always put himself into the most difficult emotional circumstances where he would kind of lose who he thought he was by the disturbance of the emotion.
Can you be more specific with that?
Yeah, he would, you know, to walk up and kiss a leper and to, like, he would trade down, meaning he would be on the road, and if he saw somebody who was dressed worse than he would trade clothes. So he was constantly undoing himself in order to stay open in the realm of the heart.
Yes.
That's that. So it's then the question is how to stabilize that. But
Right. Well, couldn't we liken that to lightning creating this huge fire in a big forest that needs to be thinned out or something like that?
Yeah. No, that's true. It means that the way of the heart is also inherently the way of service. I mean, it doesn't mean we try to serve. It just means we're really within the heart. We find that the natural world is present and alive and a spiritual presence. But then we are also oriented toward being of help automatically. I mean, it's not, you know what I mean. The way that we now think we're helping the earth ecology and doing this and that is mainly, well, it's a good idea.
Yes, well said. It is a good idea. What, you have a spiritual school where you teach, and where do you start?
It's the School of Spiritual Psychology.
Yes.
If anybody's interested, I guess the place to begin is taking a look at our website, which is www.spiritualschool.org. And that'll not only are courses listed and all that, but there's a lot of reading material, and there will be audio record. There's a lot of things that will help people just in getting oriented.
I believe in that orientation before they even get with you in any class format. It begins.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the idea of the website is not, it's really to be itself a place of learning.
Yes.
Not just advertising or something like that.
Right, of course. Oh, yes, that inner work, locating something besides the multiple versions of ourselves. May we all have success with that. We'll have more with Robert Sardello next week.